bringing memories to make you smile.
Griswold Radio.
Griswold Radio.
Nigeria's number one gospel radio station.
This is the Praise O'Clock Show. My name is Tola. I am the spice on the mic, your host on the show this morning. And we're just trying to get ourselves inspired by the Holy Spirit, like we love to do every morning. And sometimes on Thursdays like this, we just love to have Bishop G come through, you know, to assist me while I do this, you know, and to share with us some deep, deep stuff. And it always comes through thanks to the Holy Spirit. And we also love to have our friends come through. And, you know, on this I wouldn't call this a round table, but man, we could just call it a round table. And we just get to discuss and talk and share, listen to music, share experiences, and in the end, just ensure that you are lifted in your spirit, your soul, and your body. Good morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to kick off. By the way, you know we have Kenny Coro in the building, right? Yeah, yeah, we got to ring the bell for that. Kenny Coro live in the building, and this is like your third or fourth time on the Praise O'Clock Show. Maybe yeah. Third, is it, third. Bishop? Third. And there's something about the third, right? Bishop, do you want to start a sermon on that already?
Oh, God.
All right, I'm going to ask you a question we asked in the 9 o'clock hour before you came through.
Yes, sir.
So I was asking, if you had 60 seconds to spend with Jesus physically, imagine Jesus appears to you physically and you can extend the time, it's just 60 seconds, tick tock, and that will be it. How would you, what would you do? I mean, what would you say? What would the 60 seconds be like?
Awesome, awesome. You know, I've considered that question. I've thought about it several times, really. And I know that such times when we're in the presence of that person that we adore and love so much, we often are lost for words and we're beside ourselves in excitement and all that. But if I would ask anything from him, as a sharp Lagos boy, I would just say, freeze this moment. Freeze it.
Let's all just do mannequin challenge on this one. Oh, great, great stuff, great stuff. Quite a number of people shared stuff on Twitter. We read quite a number of comments already about that. People saying this and that, and just really interesting. Gina, just coming in from Gina Halley says, in between me listening to Jesu, I'll smell his hair, kiss his face, tell him how much I love and appreciate him for loving me without limits. I feel you. I really do feel you. I just can't even think about how those. Even thinking about it alone is just mind blowing. Welcome to the Praise O'Clock Show, Kenny Coro.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And welcome to our new studio as well.
Lovely,
yes.
Lovely.
Yes.
So we're bigger and better. I'm proud.
That's right.
Praise world for life.
Amen. All right, so let's start off from, we started something new on our website yesterday. I don't know if it's up this morning. Do we have our MOKK up this morning? Yes, we do, this morning. All right, so you might be wondering what MOKK is.
Yes.
We call it Musings of Kenny Coro.
Interesting.
Right, so every day or every other day, depending on how the Holy Spirit ministers to you, we get to publish your musings, which you share on social media already.
Awesome.
I recall telling you about this some time ago, but we just officially started yesterday.
Wow.
So yesterday we talked about the advantages the poor have over the rich. Sounds kind of controversial, right? But you need to read to really understand it. So what inspires this? Because I mean, we are friends on WhatsApp and I get to see these things. I read it every time. Sometimes I miss it for 1 or 2 days, so I have to read, do it, like check out all the backlog of messages. I'm like, where do you get these things from? What do you copy and paste from somewhere, or how does this come through?
Yeah, you know, first off, let me first say thank you. Thank you, Mr. Toller. Thank you, Praise World, for, I feel so honored. Really, I'm touched by that gesture. Thank you so much. I decided to take responsibility for my faith. And I decided to do that because I began to realize that Satan does not really need people outside of the church to destroy the church. He needs people in the church to destroy the church. He needs pastors. He needs bishops. He needs prophets. He needs teachers. Basically, what he's going to do is he's going to dump down the people. The people will feel that, look, since we have all of these pastors, preachers, and all of that stuff who are doing the reading and studying for us, we don't need to do it.
Okay.
Do you understand?
So whatever.
So the people, you know, the people would not go to God directly for themselves, and they will have these intermediary guys who are doing all of that for them. And so whatever those ones tell them, hook, line, and sinker, they'll
take it in.
Now, this is the problem. The people are going to assume that the preachers, the teachers, the pastors, and everybody are reading their Bible.
Mm.
But guess what, sir? It is a fact that several of these people also don't read their Bible as well.
Mm.
They might be reading other books. They might be reading devotionals by their favorite pastors or ministers and all that. But when they read the scriptures, they read it with a lens. So a lot of that is going on. Hence, the people who are supposed to be united. Jesus Christ, one of the final things Jesus Christ said before physically leaving the earth was that we be united as Him, the Holy Spirit, and the Father are united.
Mm.
But you see that there's a lot of division within the faith. And Scripture says, "A kingdom divided against itself shall not stand." I'm telling you the motivation behind me, you know, deciding that, look, I'm going to just take responsibility for what I believe. I must have also told you on the program that my mom would not let us go out and all that, but I was close to these pastors. Mm-hmm. And when I got close to them, the stuff I saw, I almost gave up on Christianity. I was walking, you know, when you're walking on the road and you're talking to yourself, I'm Yoshimo. You were just lying with deceiving ourselves. You know, by the time I got home, the Bible was open on the dining table, and it was Jesus saying, "I will build my church and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it." I was so young, I could not understand the meaning of that word, but now I do. Jesus is building His church, the ecclesia. Men are building their churches. Remember, I told Peter, he said, "Build my church."
Yeah.
He told Peter, "Build my church." The emphasis three times that it is the church of Christ and not Peter's church. But what we have today is that so-called great men of God are building their own kingdoms and their own churches.
Mm.
These are the issues. And so you have Christians fragmented, divided, confused, dumped down, ignorant, all of that going on. And I'm going to close with this. The core reason for the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, the apostle, and the pastor, the core reason is to mature the saint. So in the church, there should be an inlet and an outlet.
Mm.
But what we have in the church today is there is only an inlet. There is no outlet.
Mm.
You want the people to come in and stay, but you don't want the people to go out. But that's not Christianity. Christianity is let them come in. When they mature, let them go into the world and preach the gospel. And so all of that is going on. And, you know, I just, you know, sat down like, look, I'm going to just take responsibility. Rather than be complaining every time of what is going wrong, I'm just going to take responsibility for what I believe. And guess what, sir? Since I decided to be reading my Bible for myself, I was open to the ministry of the teacher. Go.
Hmm.
You know, all we have pastors, we have the ministry gifts.
Yes.
But they are actually sub gifts under the main gift. It's like how you could have sub heads. I'm sure Praise World right now, you know, you have sub heads, but then there is the head, which is good for every organization. So in the spiritual world as well, there is the real head.
Mm.
The real teacher is the Holy Spirit. Everybody else, the real pastor is the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Do you understand? So the pastors that we know today, the teachers that we know today are just sub pastors, sub heads. They are also sheep of His pastures.
Yes.
So when you start reading your Bible for yourself, you'll be open to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it just blows my mind every time, some of the things that He reveals to me.
Wow. Deep stuff. So those things you just get, I mean, you get those things directly from the teacher himself, those things you get to share.
Yeah, I mean, I'm here right now.
Yes.
There could be something you would say that would inspire me. There could be something Bishop G would say that would inspire me. Sometimes I'm in church, and off of what the person is preaching, I'll take notes, and then it would develop into something else. Yeah. And sometimes I'm reading a book, and the book is inspiring me. And, you know, yeah, and sometimes, you know, when I have to, like, maybe, you know, lift off someone's words or quote them.
Yes, I see that.
Most of the time, it's really interesting what you would discover when the Holy Spirit is your teacher.
Fabulous. Bishop G on the show this morning as well. How often do we have platforms where people can just sit down and share the word? I don't know if you get what I mean, where I can call a Corey, I can call a Nosa, call Bishop G and say, you know what, let's just sit down, let's talk about some of these things, let's analyze these things, let's check out the Bible, what does this mean to you? Like, these things are things that were popular back then, but it's not such a popular thing you find these days. So how often do you get into stuff like that? Bishop G, I want to ask as well, too. I mean, where we sit down like this to just talk about Bible and scriptures and things around it.
Well, what I've come to realize is that the things of the Spirit, you know, the Bible says that many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I found that every time that God gives us the opportunity to touch base, like, you know, what Corey just shared, you know, actually we're very close, but we don't see as often as, you know, but every time we sit down to talk, I find out that, you know, we're like on the same page. Not saying that, you know, I get to see some of the things that he writes, as you know, as well, you know. But then what I find interesting is that, you know, the Spirit of God is doing a work in our day and our time, because the way everything is structured, because of our schedules and all that, we may not really have the time as we want to, like, to come together like we're doing this morning. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
You know. But then you find that, you know, because the Spirit is one, I've always said it, like, a lot of people are tuned into Praise World Radio this morning. Everybody that is tuned into this frequency is getting the same information. It's the same thing, you know. You know, it will be very surprising for somebody to say, oh, I'm tuned into Praise World this morning, and it's Frank Edwards that is on Praise World Radio this morning. You know, you know that guy is tuned to a different frequency. Yeah. So what I'm trying to say is this, that when we're tuned to the same frequency, we'll speak the same thing. We may not have the same title for our messages, but at the end of our discussion, we find out that we are, you know, marching towards the same purpose and towards the same goal.
Absolutely.
You know?
Let me also, you know, chip this in there. You're right, sir. You know, Mr. Toller, when you said that was how the church started. The church was a fellowships that were in people's homes.
Yeah.
And yeah, someone might have distinguished themselves, people like Paul and Peter and the rest, and they will lead the such fellowships, but it was often, you know, interactive, you know, and people will ask questions and all that. Though I know that our institutions say that happens on Wednesdays, Bible study, but even house fellowships right now is just really what the head church say, and they just pass it down and all that, which is one of the reasons why I thank God for social media.
Yeah.
A lot of vice is going on social media. Wrong things are going on, but it's what you carry that follows you. You know, the Bible says that to whom is pure, everything is pure. Yeah. So you bring I tell people that my Google is born again. my YouTube is very sane, because of what you carry inside. Mm. So, I think that there's a reformation going on in the church.
Yeah.
People who go on Facebook and social media to insult our elders, our leaders, our pastors, they are undermining the work. I don't have anything wrong with people being passionate. I'm a passionate person myself. Do you understand? But the scripture says that be always willing to give a defense for what you believe, but do it in the spirit of humility and with respect. You know, so if I see, you know, any of our elders today, our daddies today, I will prostrate. My king won. That one does not mean I won't ask questions. My daddy, sir, can I? If that is a Korean, daddy, I will ask. Korean, I say, go ahead. Hey, and I will ask. Do you understand? But for people to come up, no matter how justified you feel in your claim, the scripture says we should not rebuke an elder. You know, and you insult people and say their head is not correct. No. As a matter of fact, the first rule is this, sir. If you want anybody to listen to you, don't start by insulting them.
Yes.
Even if what you want to say is coming directly from the altar of God, once you start with it, so they will close up against you.
True.
So this fellowship, one of the things I love so much about a lot of platforms I belong to on social media is that interactive, you know, that we could, I could share something and somebody could come with a different idea. And what that is doing is this: a lot more Christians are beginning to actually realize that we are just sharing the same title, we don't believe the same things. We're just, you know, somebody say, oh, you're a Christian. Oh, ah, good, good, good. That's all right. We're, no. By the time, you know, on Trinity alone, sir, if you bring 10 Christians here and tell them to start giving you their concept of the Trinity, that's when you understand that.
That we're not on the same page.
Some people are Buddhists. They're just bearing the name Christianity. And so I also tell people that, look, let's not, we've been trained over the years, yeah? When someone says something that challenges our traditional beliefs, we've been trained to see that person as a devil, you know, either run away. But the atheists and the agnostics, all these people are intelligent people. And I often tell Christians now that, look, let your first response to things that challenge your traditional belief not be tantrums. You know, somebody says that it is wrong to be paying tithe, and then you say, ah, God will curse you, ah, you don't know what you are doing. God will, no, come on. If somebody says that, why don't you see that as an opportunity to minister the gospel to that person? If you are sure, when he talk when ibadan lori am having barini, if you are sure of what you believe, sit down with the person and educate the person. You know, so basically what I think is happening is that there's a reform going on. Yes, social media is playing a big part of that, and even now I think a lot of our men of God are sitting up big time, and I'm happy about that.
Great, amazing stuff, amazing.
You know, to add to what he said, because I opened the scripture here because of, you know, his reference to the scripture of what the Bible talked about, the fact that the fivefold ministries as we know it, the offices, you know, the apostle, prophet, pastors, teachers and all that, was given, you know, for the maturing of the saints because of the work of the ministry. And you know, a lot of times we find that is not our reality, you know, today. Like he said, there's supposed to be outlets, because you know, when we come for our fellowship in our churches, is to empower us for the work of the ministry. You know, I think it was Pastor Tunde Bakari that said something. He said, at best, what we have most times in churches today is what he can call spiritual masturbation. You just come, excite yourself, and go away. And nothing changes, and there is nothing. Look at what this scripture said. This is 2 Kings 9. I love this scripture, you know. This was when Elisha sent, you know, the young man to go and anoint Jehu, you know. And when he got there, look at verse 4. He said, so the young man, the servant of the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead. Verse 5, when he arrived there, there were captains of the army sitting, and he said, I have a message for you, commander. And look at the response of Jehu. He said, for which one of us? Now, I believe that that's the position that God is bringing the church. You know, that's why he says in the book of Joel, it's the gathering of commanders. You know, the message was specifically for Jehu. But when it was put forward to him, he said he was the one that responded to which one of us, which means that we are fit in this place. Any one of us could actually take on that responsibility, you know. But what we have today is we have a lot of prayer collectors, you know, depending on certain people, you know, pray for me, do this and do that. And then we have, you know, like a bunch of immature people, you know. I was sharing in church yesterday and I told them in church, I said, look, if all you can testify of, you know, your growth in God year in, year out is, last year I was single, now I'm married, I have a car, I say you've not started in God. Because the true test of growth is your maturity. I have a daughter, you know, she's 3 months now.
Come on now.
No, but
no,
really,
it sounds really good. I mean, I'm just
we're all fathers here, so come on. You know, and you see, God uses things around us to teach us spiritual truth. Yes. That's what Jesus will do in his parables. And you know, one day God used my daughter and was telling me that, okay, how beautiful, you are carrying her around, you are carrying her in the car seat, you are carrying her, and then she's a year, you are still carrying her, 2 years, you are still carrying her, 3 years, you are still carrying her, 4 years, you are still carrying her. And I'm like, ah, Utio. And God said, that's how a lot of believers are. In the things of God, you still need to be carried around. You just give your life to Christ, okay, you are carried. After 10 years, you are still being carried. After 15 years, you are still being carried. Come on. You know, and so these things tells us that we need to grow up. And like what Kenny said, we need to begin to read the word of God to our minds. I didn't say read your mind to the word. There are two different things. Read the word, because when we read that word to our mind, we discover that that is where transformation happens. Because many times I read some passages of scriptures that I've had people quoted, you know, a lot of times, and I find out that that is not even the actual literal meaning of what it's saying. Some words have been removed and cut, and so it's been misinterpreted. Where there is an and or there's a comma, it's now full stop and all that. So it means something totally different. And so we need to move towards maturity. And I believe that that is what God is doing in the body today.
That's right. That's right. Amazing stuff. We have Kenny Cover live in the building, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so excited about this. And between now and 11 o'clock, we are just going to be chatting and talking. But of course, there's going to be music along with it. Now, this is we've been real here, so I can share it about anything with you.
Yes, sir.
So the last time I saw Kenny Curry was on stage was at Obi-Wan's album launch. So when he came on stage, he did a number of songs. It was more like a medley, and those who have been in church for a long time were able to really flow with him. And then when it was done with that, then he did Olorioko, which a lot of people called, you know, really were able to relate with and sing along to. On my way home, one of my, you know, team members, you know, we now got talking about it, and then the guy said, "Why does Corey always have to sing Olorioko? Shebi Olorioko is infinity." There are tons of songs that Corey has apart from Olorioko and all of that. So when he said that, I was listening to him. Like you said, we should listen, and you know, we never can tell. We can learn one or two things in the process. So when he was done, I now said something. And I think I'm right, because he also agreed with me, but I want to share it on air. I said, between the release of the song Odorioko and now, we have very few songs. And hey guys, you can tweet at us and let me know if you can count 5 songs that have gone really popular that talk about the rapture.
Word.
It's not a popular... I said this thing on air the other day. I think Obi-Wan, yeah, it was Obi-Wan. That, you know, we don't really talk about it. Maybe because it makes people, it gives people the chills or something. So we don't really have songs that is reminding us, like, you know, reminding us that, man, Jesus is coming again. And we are going to go home with him. And you got to be ready. And, you know, stuff like that. So I'm like, so if we don't have so many of those songs, this song right here is still sharing that word, is still sharing that message, and I think it really needs to be told. When I said that, and then I'm like, can you tell me some other songs like that? And he couldn't even mention one. So my question now is the message of rapture now something we are fast? I can never really remember the last time I sat under a ministration where they were just teaching us about the fact that the rapture will take place, that Jesus is coming back again. Or is it really going to happen? You know, I don't mind if you can just talk about it for a few minutes. So
thank you very much, and thank you for putting up a defense for me. I really appreciate that. Let me start from the question he asked. I didn't know that the song, I thought God was giving, do you know, I wrote the song Olorioko Shebi even before Infinity started.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, I thought God was giving me a song. I didn't know he was giving me a mandate. In that sense, an apostolic mandate, because who is an apostle? You know, an apostle is the first. Do you understand? He has a single mandate. He has one, you know, like the disciples of Jesus Christ, for example, it was Jesus, you know. I thought that, yeah, I'm a musician, I will sing about different kind of things, and I do sing about different kind of things, but I realize that every time God will keep bringing me back to that one, tell people that Jesus Christ is one people. Actually, it's not a song, a feel-good song, it's a warning. Olorioko Shimboas, put your house in order, return to your first love. You know, and so, as a matter of fact, I didn't even know that that was one of the reasons why I had to leave Infinity. You know, people be asking me, why did you leave? Why did you leave? Even me, when I left, I could not articulate it. But 9-10 years down the line, I now understand why. Do you know, I have fallen massively out of favor with a lot of people who otherwise would have favored me. Do you know that I could probably have been one of the richest gospel artists because of how gifted I am and how the far reach of my music. But the do you know that there are several churches that they will never invite Kenny Corey? Do you know that? There are several churches where Kenny Corey's name is mentioned and they will say, no, don't bring him, he's controversial. Yeah. There are several people who want to organize programs, and then because they our sponsor will not sponsor us if they see this guy's name there. So it's a mandate. It's something that I knew before I entered into it. I knew this was going to be the backlash. It was like Jeremiah now. You know, he saw what he was going to go through. He was bitter and he wanted to run from it. God said, no, don't worry, I got you. You know, basically, Jesus Christ said it. He said it will be like the days of Noah. People will be marrying, people will be having fun. It will seem, it will then just seem like, oh my, it has always been like this. It will forever be like, guess what? It has never rained before that time. So Noah is going to come and start telling people that it will rain. It will be as preposterous. The idea of Jesus coming back will be as preposterous as Noah saying it will rain to a people who have never experienced what kind of rain is. And the scripture says that if the time had not been shortened, even the elect would be so carried away. The Bible says iniquity will abound. The love of many will wax cold. Do you understand, sir, that devil does not really need sinners anymore? Devil is using pastors to lead people to hell.
Wow.
I'm serious about this. It's a serious statement to make, and I'm very aware of what I'm saying. I'm not excited. You know, do you understand that it's quite possible for people to genuinely receive Jesus Christ into their life and enter into a church, and by the time they got involved in the church politics of this and this and that, they lose their salvation in the process? The Bible talks about the cares of life. It chokes the word out of them. And so there are mixed multitudes, and for that mixed multitude, we are receiving different kind of gospels. People saying there's grace, do what you like. Right now, you have Christian ushers that are acting movies and they are kissing inside the movie. Do you know that there's a pastor who is a movie director, an American pastor who is a movie director, and men and women kiss inside his movie like as if they are a correct couple. They show body, they wear pants inside a pastor's movie. So we are becoming more lascivious. We are becoming more permissive. All of that is going on. And scripture said it's going to be like that. Man. Despite the fact that things are going to be that bad, scripture says some people have to stand in the gap. God says, I'm looking for just one person who will live for something beyond themselves. I'm actually very humbled that I contacted the grace. Because it's grace, sir. Me say, if I want to travel, you think I'm joking with you? I want to go and do summer in Hawaii. Myself, I want to write. I want to drive a nice car. Myself, I want some people to like me. You think I wake up and just want people to hate me? You seriously think I do that? No. But you see, so I contacted the grace to be able to live for something beyond myself. You know, it's a grace. And when I see people who don't have it, I don't judge them, because it's grace to be able to say, okay, I know that this thing is going to harm me, and I'm still going there anyway for the sake of the gospel. You know, so that in one word, that's really it. It was an apostolic mandate. I didn't know all the while, but I realized that along the way. And it was tough for me. There are times I'll be shedding tears, I'll be crying, I'll be like, God, you hate me. You
don't in your house, in your office, in your car, listen to Praise World Radio on the go. With your PC, your laptop, and even your mobile phones, we bring you the best of urban gospel radio everywhere you go. Praise World Radio on the go.